Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, another busy day at the winter meetings. The Cody Bellinger era in Los Angeles is over. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some more pitchers coming off the board, which further reduces the Dodgers' options for their starting rotation. And Dave Roberts met with the media at the winter meetings and had some interesting things to say on several topics that we are going to touch on. So that's the plan. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time with us, I am Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio. We're doing a split episode today, so I will be with you for the first half. Vince will be with you for the second half. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning, and we really appreciate you being with us. Again, please subscribe if you haven't already. We'd love to bump up all those subscriptions, and we appreciate it. If you're new, if you came to us because of our crossover with the boys from Dodger Nation, welcome back. We appreciate that. I really like Doug and Clint. I work with them every single day. Great guys, great content. And like I said on yesterday's show, there is plenty of room for multiple Dodgers podcasts, especially in the offseason. What else are you going to do? There's no games to watch. Just listen to a bunch of Dodgers podcasts. And, you know, be sure to listen to ours and then watch it on YouTube or vice versa. Whichever order doesn't matter. Just bump up the numbers, you know. Anyway, Vince and I were both at the winter meetings again on Tuesday. We spent a lot of the day together. We're recording separately, as I mentioned, because he and I are both done with our winter meetings for the year. I am back at my parents' home in Lake Elsinore. Vince is currently driving back to his home in LA. And so that's our plan for today, doing the split episode. I know that in Vince's segment, he's going to talk specifically about Dave Roberts' comments about the Dodgers not having as much intensity as the Padres in the NLDS, and some thoughts around that. So that's what he's going to talk about. But for me, the big story on Tuesday was the Cody Bellinger era coming to an end in Los Angeles. The Cubs signed Bellinger for 1 year, $17.5 million. So basically, Bellinger got about what he would have gotten in arbitration for the Dodgers. It's just a different team paying it. And when the Dodgers initially decided to cut tie or to non-tender Bellinger, my hope was that they would bring him back on a smaller deal and that he would find things and be happy in LA and sign a long-term deal after he had figured things out, et cetera, et cetera. But it pretty quickly became clear that there was enough demand for a guy with Cody Bellinger's talents. You know, he's 27 years old. He's a former MVP, former Rookie of the Year. Legitimately in 2019, he was the best player in baseball and one of the best players we've seen in a long, long time. He's still that guy. He still has that talent. And so it turns out there were a lot of teams willing to take a flyer on that talent and hope to get him back to what he used to be. Because if he's anything like 2019, $17.5 million is a steal. But then once enough teams were interested and got involved, then it became clear that he was going to get quite a bit of money, which didn't necessarily rule the Dodgers out. The Dodgers have plenty of money, but if they wanted to pay Cody $18 million, they would have just tendered him. And they didn't want to do that. And so it kind of became clear that he wasn't coming back, and that became a for sure thing on Tuesday when we found out that he had agreed to a deal with the Cubs. And it's a good deal for Cody. I'm happy for him getting a lot of money. I think Wrigley Field will be a good place for him. Playing the outfield, it's in center field, it's a pretty easy place to play the outfield. Obviously, the ivy on the walls is a little bit of a thing to deal with, but right and left field both have weird nooks and crannies at Wrigley Field. Center field is just pretty much a regular center field. It's not an overly large field, and so I think he'll do defensively and offensively, depending on the wind and the weather, but Wrigley Field is often a good place to hit. And so for a guy like Bellinger, who his goal is to reestablish his offensive value, it makes sense. There was talk that Bellinger also met with the Giants and the Blue Jays this week. Blue Jays make a lot of sense. You know, they play in a bandbox, all that stuff. We know they need outfielders, and we knew they were interested. Giants made less sense to me for reasons I've probably explained before, that, you know, if your goal is to try to reassure offensive value, go into a place where hitters struggle, not the best idea. But the flip side of that is, if he had gone to San Francisco, you know, if Cody really does figure things out and get back to what he used to be, no stadium's going to hold him anyway. And it might look more impressive for him to have his offensive bounce back in a tough hitter's park like San Francisco. But in the end, he went with the Cubs, probably because he offered the most money. That's how free agency works. He got a one-year deal to reestablish his value. Maybe he'll be back to the Dodgers someday. Probably not, but stranger things have happened, maybe. And I'm like I said, I'm happy for Cody Bellinger. I'm hopeful for Cody Bellinger. I really like Cody Bellinger. I appreciate all the things he did for the Dodgers. You know, in 2020, when they World Series, they don't win that without Cody's home run in game 7 of the NLCS, the one that ended in his shoulder injury. You know, that was the game winner that sent them to the World Series. He hit another homer in game 1 of the World Series, the game I was at. It was a lot of fun. Cody Bellinger was a key part of that 2020 championship team. He was obviously a key part of 2019, the team that set at the time their franchise record for 106 wins. He won the MVP. He was awesome. 2017, he was awesome. A huge part of the team that won 104 games that year, and he was the rookie of the year. So many great Cody Bellinger moments over the years that they can never take away from us. Right now, they make us kind of sad because we're remembering a version of Cody Bellinger that doesn't currently exist. But I'm hopeful that that version of Cody Bellinger could exist again. I hope it does. I want Bellinger to be successful, and obviously not against the Dodgers, but in general, I want him to be successful because I have fond feelings towards Cody Bellinger. I don't think the shirt I'm wearing right now is a Bellinger shirt, but I do have a couple Bellinger shirts, and I will continue to wear them because I will continue to love Cody Bellinger. So it's sad that he's not a Dodger anymore. Dave Roberts found out that Bellinger wasn't a Dodger anymore basically during his press conference. That was kind of, so he didn't have a lot of time to process, but you could tell by his answers that he's been processing it. I think he saw the writing on the wall too and knew that the time was done, but he had nothing but well wishes for Bellinger. Also, it's a sad time. If you look back at, you know, 2020, that only really Kershaw and Barnes from the really big contributors, obviously Bruce Argrado. Not 2020, from the 2017 to 2018 World Series teams. It's just Kershaw and Barnes. 2020, obviously there's more. There's Mookie, there's Gratterall, there's some of those guys. But even the 2020 team, Seager's gone, Jock's gone, Kike's gone, Bellinger's gone. You know, Buehler's out right now. Not gone, but out. A lot of, you know, they still have some of the key ones with Will Smith and you know, a lot of those guys, but baseball changes. And Jerry Seinfeld famously said, we root for laundry. And this is a very good example of rooting for laundry. Whoever replaced Cody Bellinger, we're going to root for them. Dave Roberts said the Dodgers will be looking for an outfielder, especially one who can play center field. I don't know who that'll be. Brandon Nimmo is the only real center fielder who's any good on the free agent market right now. So maybe they're going after Brandon Nimmo, but if Bellinger's getting $17.5 million, Nimmo's going to want more than that because while Bellinger has the higher ceiling, Nimmo has the benefit of having been good the last 2 years, which Bellinger wasn't. So it'll be interesting to see what the Dodgers do in center field. Dave Roberts did say they'll address it, but who knows how? And that's going to be one of the big storylines to watch the rest of this offseason. So farewell to Cody Bellinger. We love you. We'll miss you. And good luck with everything except when you're playing the Dodgers, as always. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about a couple starting pitchers who signed with other teams and continuing to come off the board and continue to create questions as to what the Dodgers are going to do with the rotation and some comments that Dave Roberts had about that topic. So thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by SimpliSafe. At Locked On Dodgers, we believe home should be where you and your family feel safest, especially over the holidays. This season, give yourself and your family a gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system, SimpliSafe. And right now, SimpliSafe is offering Locked On Dodgers listeners 40% off a new security system. but don't put this off. SimpliSafe was named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report, a third year in a row. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use FastProtect technology exclusively from SimpliSafe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real so you can get priority police response. 24/7 professional monitoring costs under $1 a day. That's less than half the cost of ADT's traditional professional installed plans. One of the reasons I didn't get a security system for a long time is because I thought they were super expensive. I thought that was something only real grown-ups did. But it turns out if you do it right, it's not that expensive, and you and I can both be real grown-ups. So don't miss your chance to save big on our favorite security system. Get 40% off any new system at simplisafe.com/lockedMLB today. That's SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/lockedonMLB. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. All right, I am back. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every week morning. When you're done with this, for your second listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. The Dodgers have been looking for starting pitching this offseason. We got Clayton Kershaw back officially. That's great. Other targets who we thought they might go after, Justin Verlander, Jacob DeGrom signed. We've already talked about them, although we didn't talk much about Verlander signing on yesterday's episode, at least on the Locked On Dodgers portion. We did talk about it on the Blue Heaven from Dodgers Nation podcast, that half of our crossover. But, you know, Verlander is with the Mets now. DeGrom is with the Rangers. We'll get a couple more on Tuesday. Andrew Heaney, who there were rumblings that the Dodgers might be interested in bringing him back. He signed with the Rangers, too. Taijuan Walker signed with the Phillies. Jameson Taillon signed with somebody, the Cubs, I think. You know, a lot of these pitchers keep coming off the board, and it's making fewer and fewer options for the Dodgers. Right now, the Dodgers have Julio. They have Kershaw, they have Gonsolin in May, and then they have question marks. They have, you know, you have three guys who pitched in the big leagues last year who are starters, Ryan Pepiot, Michael Grove, and Andre Jackson. You have two other guys who are top pitching prospects who finished the season in AAA who are starters, Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone. So that right there, that's nine guys to fill a five-man rotation, and yet the Dodgers probably want to add at least one more starter, maybe two still. And so, you know, there's Carlos Rodon on the market. There's Kodai Senga from Japan, and then there's, you know, Chris Bassett's still out there. There's several pitchers still out there, and Dave Roberts hinted that they might try to do something like they did with Tyler Anderson, find a guy who they think is undervalued and help him turn great. Obviously, if they could just do it on demand, they'd do that all the time because that's the cheapest way to do it. But, you know, that's a good goal to have. He also talked about Bobby Miller, though. Bobby Miller is their top pitching prospect. He pitched AA and AAA in 2022. He was actually better in AAA than he was in AA. His walk rate was better. His strikeout rate was about the same between the two places. But because of the better walk rate and slightly better hit rate, he was a much better pitcher. At an ERA like 3.25-ish in AAA. You know, not a world beater, but that's pretty darn good, especially in the Pacific Coast League, which is a hitter's league. Bobby Miller looked really good, struck out a bunch of guys, 150-something strikeouts and 112 innings overall in the minor leagues. Just really, really solid season, and he's got great stuff. We saw him in the futures game. We saw him in spring training last year. He has got the stuff. He struck out Shohei Ohtani in the freeway series. He looked great in the futures game. His fastball is electric. He's got great off-speed stuff. Just he has the potential to be the total package. And one silver lining of this whole, the Dodgers missing out on some of these pitchers, is they might be forced to give Bobby Miller more starts than they would have otherwise, which might mean that by the time October rolls around, he's a seasoned professional and ready for the pressure of October. And if that's the case, that would be pretty awesome. So, you know, but Dave Roberts said that Bobby Miller is going to pitch in the big leagues in 2023. He said how much he'll pitch, that's up to him. And what he means by that is pitching well. Obviously, it's not actually up to him. Bobby Miller would say, I will pitch all the time, please. But, you know, basically his performance will dictate how much he gets to pitch in the big leagues. And I do think that that bar for performance might be lowered a little bit because of their lack of starting pitching, to say, you know what, We have a solid team. We're going to win some games with our offense, and we are going to let Bobby Miller take some lumps in the big leagues so that he can get through that and become a starting pitcher who can really, really contribute to the team in the stretch run in October of 2023. I think that would be awesome. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. We don't know if that's going to be the case or not, but that's kind of what I'm hoping for. And based on Dave Roberts' comments, it doesn't seem out of the question. Dave Roberts had other comments too. He talked about not having as much intensity as the Padres and the NLDS. Vince is going to talk about that. He talked about Gavin Lux, said that they're very comfortable with Gavin Lux if he is a starting shortstop, but also not ready to commit to that yet. It sounds like that's not their plan A, but they are okay with that if it does come to that. And beyond that, it's a, you know, the lot of stuff that Dave Roberts talked about. One of the things about the winter meetings is so many things happen that we're trying to keep this to a half hour a day. We're not just a news report. We're not going to summarize everything that everybody said on the show. We're going to talk about some key points and our opinions on those things. So that's what I've done here. A lot more though, be sure, you know, we'll talk more over the next several days about other things that Dave Roberts said. I'm sure there will be hopefully news to talk about as the Dodgers start making moves, which they haven't really done yet. So that's going to do it for me for today. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen. It really does mean a lot to me. And Vince will be along in a minute.
Yo, 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 Dodger fan. Vince here to close out the episode. And like Jeff mentioned, I'm here to talk about some comments Dave Roberts made at the winter meetings, talking about playoff intensity and the difference between the Dodgers and the Padres in the postseason. And I'll just start off with the quote. He was asked about whether the Dodgers might have lacked intensity appropriate for a playoff series in the NLDS. Dave Roberts said, quote, "I think there's some truth to that. As a manager, you never want to say that somebody wants it more than you, because I think that speaks to the preparation part of it, the mental part of it. But I will say that you look at that dugout versus our dugout, there was more intensity there. That sense of the ultimate sense of urgency each pitch, I think that we're going to make sure that that's noted, because I do think in retrospect, postmortem, kind of looking at it, I sensed it. So that part of it, I think I certainly take ownership of for sure." And he also went on to say that the Dodgers don't have an October problem just in general. So, but it was interesting because it wasn't something I ever expected the Dodgers to, or anyone on the Dodgers to kind of really admit. You know, we talked about this and, you know, playoff intensity and having fun in the dugout and everything else. And, you know, it comes down to the Padres looked like they were having more fun because they were winning, and that's how it goes. But it's also a matter of, you know, it's the playoffs, and you do need to kind of, you know, you don't need to, I guess, live and die with every pitch, but you do have to have, like Robert said, a sense of urgency on every pitch. Every pitch matters. And, you know, especially in that series with the Padres, is, you know, 2 to 3 plays or hits or moments shifts that whole series. You know, one big hit in game 2 for the Dodgers, and they win that game. You know, the not giving up those hits in game 4, you know, and that doesn't really have to do with playoff intensity, I don't think. But I do think that, you know, it's visible that sometimes the Dodgers are a little bit different in terms of their mindset and mentality and, you know, the way they go about things compared to other teams that they play sometimes. And, you know, if Jeff was here, he would for sure be on the other side of it and be like, you know, it doesn't matter. He'd rather have, you know, good players rather than intense players and everything else. But, you know, I do think it plays a part into it. I do think, you know, these Dodgers last year were a different type of team, you know, and they've had these types of teams before, but I don't know. You'd like to see a little bit different, you know, mentality, and or maybe not mentality, but you'd maybe like to see that. And I don't even want to call it intensity. It's just, I don't know. It just seems, sometimes it seems like the Dodgers are pressing because they, you know, they won 111 games or whatever they're expected to win, and they have that pressure, and then it kind of collapses, where sometimes they come in and play some of these teams. You know, the last 2 years, they've lost to teams that didn't win 90 games. And yeah, those teams got hot. They had, you know, key moments and key hits and key situations that went their way. But they also play with a little bit more, you know, they play a little bit more freely, at least it seems, because they don't have that pressure maybe. And, you know, there's really no way for the Dodgers to avoid that for the most part. You know, I don't think they should intentionally make their team a 90-win team or a 95-win team or 88-win team, whatever it is. But I do think, you know, personality-wise, and this is going to come a little bit as the Dodgers get younger and kind of shift to some new guys, is, you know, it the Kikes and the Jocks and you know, Puig back in the day and all those guys, they were fun. They were big. They were, you know, big personalities. They brought some fun, but they also were good. And especially in the postseason, you know, Kike had a bunch of big hits in the postseason. Puig had a bunch of big hits in the postseason. Jock had a bunch of big hits in the postseason. And that's kind of, you know, it's, you're not going to be able to just find that combination. Like, oh, this guy is, you know, like Hanser Alberto, fun, you know, brings the fun to the dugout, brings, you know, keeps everything loose, everything else. Didn't make the postseason roster. So, you know, it's guys like that. But then now we got, you know, you're getting a little bit of a youth movement with Miguel Vargas and, you know, possibly, you know, Gavin Lux stepping into a bigger role. And then, you know, Michael Bush, guys like that coming up. Yeah, Bobby Miller potentially coming up. And those guys could be those personalities, or, you know, just maybe don't know any better type of mentality. You know, that's also kind of part of it. Like, just looking at the last years, the Padres, Machado had been to the playoffs, been to the World Series with the Dodgers. But other than that, a lot of those guys either hadn't been to playoffs or, you know, hadn't been successful in playoffs and, you know, or were part of 2020 playoffs, which were a little bit, you know, different in terms of they lost to the Dodgers and, you know, they didn't have the full success that they've had. And you look at the Braves the year before, they were an 88-win team in the playoffs, you know, kind of playing with house money a little bit. And they had a bunch of guys that came over midseason that helped them out, you know, Rosario, Soler, Jock. So even all those guys that were there the year before, when the Braves blew the 3-1 lead to the Dodgers, you know, they had other guys to supplement that also were hitting well and playing well and, you know, helped them win those certain series. You know, Eddie Rosario helped them beat the Dodgers. Jock Peterson helped more in like the first round. Jorge Soler was World Series MVP, you know, guys that helped out. And then you look at the Padres, Trent Grisham sucked all season and then was good in the postseason. And he already, you know, has a little bit stronger personality or more of a hype mentality. And when he's good, then he gets to accentuate that because, you know, he's able to celebrate and stuff like that. So, you know, all in all, when I posted the video of Robert saying this stuff and, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, like, why did the Dodgers still hire this guy or, you know, whatever else, you know, Dave Roberts took it on the chin. He said that he believes that he'll take ownership. I mean, he said that he'll take ownership for this and that kind of thing. But I've never managed a Major League Baseball team, obviously, you know, but I've managed a Little League team in a few years, you know, 4 or 5 years in a row, I've managed Little League team, or not managed, but, you know, Little League coach. And sometimes you get teams that are just naturally, you know, excited and hyped and, you know, cheering on teammates and, you know, into the game and intense and, you know, those teams are fun. And then sometimes, you know, a couple of years I got teams that the kids just never figured it out. They never, you know, got that intensity. They never seemed to be fully into the game. And those years weren't as fun. And the Dodgers as a whole aren't like that. You know, they're not like, oh my God, these guys are whatever. You know, the Dodgers do have personalities. They do have, you know, they did win 111 games. It was a lot of fun. They had, you know, celebrations and the, you know, the knocking on the head and everything else. But the manager can only do so much. And Dave Roberts said that about, you know, not extracting or not taking guys out of who they are. You know, if there's a player that just doesn't get hyped like that or doesn't handle the way, or, you know, he doesn't play that way, you can't force him to do that. And that, you know, and I don't think the Dodgers have any like true players like that intense and, or that, you know, stuck in the mud or that, you know, boring, I guess. But collectively, I think they try to have a different mentality, and it tightens you up a little bit. And, you know, I think playing, you know, 111 wins, you're expected to win, you're playing the Padres, you know, the Padres had a goal of, you know, the Dodgers' goal was to win the World Series, and maybe they had that goal ahead of win the series first. The Padres' goal was to beat Dodgers, and being on the field and around, you know, players and coaches at that time during the playoffs, you know, you could see the Padres' side. They wanted to beat the Dodgers, and some of the, you know, things I heard when, you know, coaches or players were talking to other coaches or players or to, you know, somebody they knew or whatever the case was, like, they wanted to beat the Dodgers. They were going to bring that intensity. They're going to bring everything else. And the Dodgers, I don't know if they had that same mentality, like, we want to beat the Padres. It's more so like, we want to get to the World Series. The Padres are one of those teams. Okay, let's beat the Padres. I don't know if that, you know, energy was reciprocated in terms of we want to beat the Padres. Now, if they play each other again, you know, next year in the postseason, I think revenge, all that kind of stuff. So, like, you know, it can go both ways if it's, you know, happened before where the Dodgers have played with intensity or more fun, or, you know, it looks like they want to, whatever the case is, you know, play harder. And I don't even think it's a matter of playing harder. It's just a matter of the way you are approaching the game and the way you're going into it. And yeah, I do think the Dodgers could benefit from having a little bit different mindset, mentality, whatever, you know, there's no set word because, it, you know, I don't think the Dodgers' mindset was wrong. The Dodgers were trying to win the games, you know, and I don't think their mentality was wrong. I just think, you know, whatever, in playoff intensity, hype, whatever, you know, there's some combination of all those words is kind of what I would have liked to see. And yeah, it's very possible that, you know, if the Dodgers don't go, you know, 0-20 with runners in scoring position and they go even 5-20, then it wouldn't have looked that way as much because the Dodgers would have been having more fun and the Padres would have been losing and, you know, it would have been a little bit different. But I think the combination of that and the, you know, I do think sometimes when the Dodgers go down in the postseason or, you know, when, you know, the writing's not on the wall, but when they're in a tougher situation, it has seemed like it's hard to build it back up or get it back up. And it might be a matter of, you know, they exhausted so much energy to get to a certain point, and then after it didn't work and you're just like, well, damn, like, you know, like, you know, 2018 World Series, you know, devastating game 4 loss, and then Dodgers come out in game 5 pretty flat and, you know, it didn't work out. I don't think, you know, I don't want to be like, oh my God, the Dodgers don't know how to come back and win, because they've come back and win and they've done stuff like that in the postseason. But it's just a matter of, you know, they start to add up, and that's the biggest part. You know, Dodger fans, yeah, we're spoiled. We've seen the Dodgers in the playoffs the last 10 years. You know, we've had varying degrees of success in those 10 years, obviously. And I think it just does add up. And then you try to find the things of like, you know, oh, they, you know, they need more intensity. They need more this. They need more that. But I do think the intensity thing has a point. I do think, and I don't know if it's intensity because there's different, you know, ways to interpret that. I do think it's just a matter of playing a little more free and relaxing a little bit and just, you know, the playoffs, everyone's playing with house money. There's no guarantees. There's no, you know, the better team doesn't always win. And if you look back at it, you know, the better team definitely wins a majority of the time, but it's, I don't know if it's a significant majority of the time to where it's, you know, you feel comfortable. And I don't think any team should ever feel comfortable heading into the postseason. So, you know, I think with the youth movement, you know, maybe they'll bring in some guys that have a little bit, you know, different personality and that kind of gets them going. You know, maybe Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, they talk things out or they figure it out and they're like, okay, you know, maybe, you know, we can have our personality. I don't think they need to change their personalities. I just think the way that it was represented in October could maybe, you know, benefit from a little bit of adjustments and just be like, okay, look, like, you know, maybe we could have done this, or maybe we were too laid back, or maybe we were like this, you know, whatever the case is. So, yeah, it's, I'm glad Dave Roberts said this, you know, because it had been a talking point of fans, and, you know, we talked about it on the podcast and everything else. And I think I feel more comfortable them acknowledging it than not acknowledging it and saying, oh, you know, that didn't have anything to do with it. You know, I think acknowledging certain things that maybe had an impact on the series should be acknowledged and should be like, okay, now, you know, I don't think that, you know, Dave Roberts is not going to be like, okay, next year you guys need to be rah-rah all the time and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't think that that's the solution. I just think it's like, hey guys, you know, let's go out there and let's have some fun. Let's be intense. Let's be on every pitch. Let's, you know, focus 100%, you know, not that these guys weren't doing that, but it, you know, it's just a matter of having it out there. So appreciate Dave Roberts for being candid about it, and we'll see what happens. Where that's not gonna, it's gonna be a long time before we can discuss this topic again, because it won't be a something to talk about. It won't be a discussion point until next October. So that's gonna do it for my part of the episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube, search for Locked On Sports Today. You can also search for Locked On Dodgers in those places and subscribe to Locked On Dodgers if you haven't already done so. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, or if you're at home, tear smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.